The first RSA conference took place in 1991 at a hotel in Redwood City, California. There were around 50 people, mostly cryptographers, with a room for speakers and no exhibition space. I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. We're here with the history of the RSA conference. Joining us is Mark Rottenberg, who is the Washington Director at the Computer Professionals for Social Responsibility, or CPSR, from 1988 to 1994. Mark is presently the Executive Director at the Foundation for AI and Digital Privacy, an organization he founded in 2020. Mark, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Nice to be with you.
Mark, there's a lot that I'd like to ask you about, but I have to jump right in and ask about a phone call that you had with Jim Bidzos in 1991. In an interview with Jeffrey R. Yost for the Charles Babbage Institute at the University of Minnesota in 2004, Jim credits a phone call that he had with you as the inspiration for that first RSA conference. I want to read a quote from Jim. He created the RSA conference, as you know, in 1991 and served as its chairman until 2004. When he was asked about the origin of the conference, this is exactly what he said verbatim. "Yes, actually it originated. You know, there's another example where there's just one moment, one phone call where this happened, right about the time that the Electronic Frontier Foundation was being born around 1991. And actually it was also the time that something called CPSR, Computer Professionals for Social Responsibility, was becoming EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, the director of which is a guy named Mark Rottenberg. This was a time when the government made an announcement. I don't think it was the Clipper chip at the time. I think it was something called the DSA. Anyway, they were starting to try to set or dictate encryption standards for the business community. They had made some announcement, and Mark called me up and said, 'They've just announced this. Have you seen this?' And I said, 'Yes.' And he said, 'What are we going to do about this?' And I said, 'I don't know. It sounds to me like the best thing we could do is educate people. So maybe what we ought to do is host a conference and educate people about this. I've got access to a lot of people who can talk about it.' It was his phone call basically pleading, 'What are we going to do? What are you going to do?' And he, meaning you, Mark, was really bothered by DSA, seemed up in arms, and didn't know what to do. All that nervous energy that I felt somehow made me feel obligated to do something. So that's where I came up with this idea to have the conference." Mark, can you take us back in time to that phone call? Do you remember it? Can you give us the backstory on it?
Well, that's a good memory on Jim's part. I'm not sure that I remember all of those details, but I can tell you about a few events that preceded the phone call. I had worked as a staff counsel in the United States Senate a few years earlier, and I worked on a law called the Computer Security Act. And the aim of that law was actually to get the National Security Agency out of the business of setting technical standards for computing systems in the United States. And when that law passed, we thought it was a big achievement. Congress wanted open research, wanted competitive business, wanted innovation. And then less than a year later, the NSA sat down with the Department of Commerce and said, "Why don't we put together a technical working group and set some standards?" And basically, the NSA was reclaiming control. Now, Jim, in referring to the DSA, I have to pause for a moment because it sounds like one of the standards that emerged from that working group. But I remember around this time testifying in Congress and saying, we're going to have real problems if the technical standards are going to be set once again by the NSA. And I'm sure some part of that was in my thinking when I reached out to Jim. You know, I know a lot about the RSA origins. I've known Ron Rivest for many, many years. He's been a great inspiration for the work I've done. And it may actually have been Ron who suggested to me to get in touch with Jim and see if it was possible to organize a conference. As I'm speaking these words, I'm actually thinking that Ron was likely there at the first meeting we held in Washington.
Well, we're talking to you, Mark, because we'd like to learn as much as we can about that first RSA conference and the earliest history of the other conferences. I think the second one was in 1993. So being that it started or maybe was inspired by that phone call, certainly there was something around that. What can you tell us about the first conference? Were you there personally? And if not, did you talk to Jim or any of the other people who were there? And did it make the difference you were hoping for?
Well, absolutely. And I think now there are actually two things happening on both coasts, because I was in DC and I wanted to bring together experts in cryptography with the policymakers in Washington who were interested in the topic. And so we actually organized a series of roundtables. It was the CPSR RSA roundtables. I think our first year might have been even been 1990. But anyway, we did those for 3 years in a row. And those roundtables were well attended. Jim was there, Ron was there, other crypto experts were there. Simultaneously, and I think this is what Jim may be referring to, he also launched the conference in the Bay Area in San Francisco, which, you know, truly became one of the preeminent conferences in the world, the original RSA conference.
So did you hear from any of the people who were at that first conference, you know, that Jim was at in 91? I believe that was in Redwood City.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I'm just, again, trying to recall who was doing what when. I don't think I was at the conference in 91. I remember going in subsequent years because, of course, by 94, the Clipper chip had been announced and we had organized an online petition to try to stop that from happening. And it was actually featured, I think, at the RSA conference in 1994.
So over the years, you've been a featured expert, speaker, panelist at numerous RSA conferences. Are there any that stick out in your mind that you'd like to share with us? You know, maybe any of the earlier conferences that you were at?
Well, I think the early ones were exciting. I mean, it is as Jim described, there was a lot happening in that moment. You know, in the early 90s, the internet was still viewed as a research platform and not really, you know, a commercial platform. And to make that transition to a commercial platform that would make possible all the companies that followed required a security infrastructure. And so where we were in the early 90s was basically wrestling with the government whether we were going to have a strong security infrastructure or a weak one. And so I think of those early conferences as really the starting point for what made online commerce possible on the internet.
So those early conferences, they were small, they were special. You know, at the first conference, there were 50 or so cryptographers, totally different complexion than what it became. It blew up into the world's, quote, largest gathering of security professionals, and 50,000 people converge on San Francisco for the event. You've got mainstream society, you have reporters, you have everybody coming to the event. Do you think that it lost some of what made it special in the first place when it got so big?
Well, I think it was certainly an exciting place for people who were involved in the issue, and there weren't that many people involved in crypto policy in the early 90s. You know, it was the place to be. It was the place where a U.S. senator would show up and try to explain the thinking behind legislation that could be enacted into law, or an FBI director might try to describe why the government needed access to copies of private keys. So we were very much in the early days at the front lines of an important critical policy debate. And I think as the conference evolved, I mean, there was much more industry adoption, a lot more interest in practical use of cryptography and security tools. And also, as we've seen, you know, over the last several years, I mean, just growing concern about the adequacy for online security. So I think it's changed. I don't think it's less relevant today, but I certainly remember the early days were exciting.
Well, in the beginning, you know, you have a group of cryptographers come together and they have a very similar vision and mission and, you know, they're all bonding together. Then as the event starts to get larger, you have law enforcement come in, you have different philosophies come in, and there's also some clashing. I know this firsthand from being at some of the events once they got a little bit bigger. Is that for the better or worse?
I think the debate is good. I mean, I believe that you need to do both things. I'm glad that we were able to bring cryptographers together with privacy advocates and others in support of a strong crypto policy in the US. That seems to me a real achievement. But at the same time, you need dialogue. You need to understand what the concerns are on the government side. And I think the RSA conference made that possible as well. So we never objected to the dialogue. We actually encouraged it. But we also had a mission, and our aim was to ensure a strong and secure infrastructure.
And what did you think? I'm curious, you know, just socially, things changed so much. You wind up with an event that has tens of thousands of people, and you have actors and actresses and comedians who are headlining the event. You know, it definitely took on a different look. Did you enjoy that aspect of the events?
It's funny now, because as you're talking, I am getting a whole slew of different images. And I will say, you know, the way people would dress in the early days, which was a lot of t-shirts and long hair and backpacks, is probably not the typical conference goer nowadays. So we've got a different uniform now than when we started. I don't think that's bad. I mean, I think it's good to have lots of people from lots of different backgrounds in the room talking about these issues. But yeah, I don't know a lot of cryptographers wearing three-piece suits, so.
Well, you also had sort of a different headlining crowd. You know, there was a time when, as the conference got popular, you would have a figure like, say, you know, Kevin Mitnick or Bill Gates, people who come out of the tech industry or have tech backgrounds, regardless of what they actually did with it. But then we moved to a point where you had William Shatner and, you know, other figures who had, you know, no background, but that's just where the event went. Did you enjoy that aspect of it?
Well, I think, I mean, sure. And part of it, of course, is actually mainstreaming, you know, a topic that, let's say, more than 30 years ago was of interest to a fairly small group of people. So, in some respects, it's also a reflection of the growing popularity and the growing significance of the work that RSA does. But it's definitely a change. I remember conferences where we would have speakers who were actually afraid that if law enforcement showed up, they might be in trouble. So you'd have someone kind of up at the podium trying to check where the exit signs were.
Right. Well, I guess in some ways we're trying to go old school here. We really appreciate where this all came from, and we're going one-on-one with, I'm sure, a lot of people who you know, some of them at those first conferences, to hear El Gamal, Bruce Schneier, Marty Hellman, and so forth, just to go and take a trip down memory lane because it all started back then.
Yeah, those are, of course, familiar names. And it is interesting also how many people who were there in the early days continue to make significant contributions in the field. It's exciting to take a step back and see how the conference has evolved over the years. But I'm certainly grateful for the opportunity to have been there at the start. And I think Jim actually was a real visionary in convening the conference and building it as he did.
So, do you still go today out of curiosity?
No, I haven't gone the last few years. I've been over the last actually several years very much involved in issues related to artificial intelligence. You know, crypto still plays an important role in that domain, but we're also following where the policy world is heading. And I feel once again, maybe on the front lines of a new policy debate. And maybe we'll begin with some small roundtable meetings and some years from now be talking about conferences with 10,000 people.
Well, on that note, to close out, tell us about the Foundation for AI and Digital Privacy.
Yeah, the Center for AI and Digital Policy, we're a global network of AI policy experts and advocates now in more than 100 countries. And we are trying to put in place the norms to govern AI to make sure that AI remains human-centric and trustworthy. We've made a lot of progress over the last several years. There's a lot more work to do. But again, like the early days with crypto policy, you can see this evolving very rapidly and also likely impacting many, many people.
Well, perhaps we can have you come back on and have a discussion about that. But for today, we've placed you in the time capsule of the RSA conference, and we really appreciate you coming on with us.
Great. It's very nice speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. In 1982, Ron Rivest, Adi Shamir, and Leonard Edelman founded RSA Security, a computer and network security company specializing in encryption and encryption standards. The first RSA conference took place 9 years later, in 1991, and featured a single panel on digital signature standards used to authenticate message recipients and detect alterations to exchanged information. I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. You can learn more about the history of the RSA conference on our podcast at cybercrime.radio.